Hello, 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 and a warm Wicca welcome to all of our witches, white lighters, and warlocks out there. My name is Clark.
And I'm Victoria, and you're listening to Charmed and Dangerous, a charm podcast.
Hello, welcome back.
Hello.
Hello. Big summer blowout. I've never watched that movie.
Hold on. Pause. Reset.
Instant chaos.
You've never watched Frozen?
Okay, that's a lie. I've watched most of Frozen once.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't like it. I really, really strongly disliked that movie.
Let's see.
Clark just got canceled. We can't put this in the episode. Moving on.
First of all, it's Yoo-hoo, big summer blowout.
See, why do I need to watch the movie when I've got you?
You're not wrong. When it's literally an account
but
of
it is
my life.
No, I think I'm the ice queen here. I think
one of us is in fact a Capricorn, so
we fight for the title of ice queen on this podcast.
Yes. I want to take small children from their village. Shout out if you know the original story of the Snow Queen.
Babe, it is nearly 2 minutes into this episode, mm-hmm. and we haven't even talked about the episode title yet.
Okay. Episode
we
two.
We gotta move on.
The magic hour.
Oh, yes. Today's summary is quick and sweet.
Here we go. I'm upset. You're upset. Piper is very upset. But, like, these two random cursed people aren't cursed anymore, so that's cool. And Phoebe is one look away from getting dicked down, so that's good for her, I guess. It is good for her. I'm excited for her. I hope she gets some hot demon dick.
I will say, like, skipping forward a little bit, there was one moment, I'm not gonna lie to you, where, like, Cole was just looking at Phoebe, and I was like, jaw floor, like...
Are they gonna kiss right now?
I was like... Holy shit, that's hot. Like,
Cole is a good looking man.
It's not even necessarily that he's good looking. I guess he is. Like, tall, dark, and handsome. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's something about the, like, scary, raw passion that Cole holds that's just like, wow, I get it, Phoebe, okay?
Yeah, it's called the villain complex.
Somebody help me.
I don't want you.
I need therapy.
I don't want you to commit murder, right? I don't want you to commit murder. I don't want you to kick puppies. I don't want any of that. I do not want you to be held to the moral standards and obligations. Like, I want you to be loyal and obsessed with me. Not interchangeably. And that's just that. And that's what Cole is.
God, like, I'm not a Cole girl. Like, I'm a Leo girl through and through. We've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've ever had that reaction to Cole Turner in my life. That being said, moving on.
Yeah.
This episode is absurd. Big bad, Cole.
No!
Fuck Cole. Cole can suck a dick. I'm upset. And also, no, seriously, fuck Cole.
So Cole, who exists as District Attorney Cole Turner, we love him. We love him. Cole, who is actually Cole, who is working for the Triad, sucks a dick. Sucks a big
suck
fat
a
dick.
Fat one. Cole.
We are very upset with Cole, and I am sure that Clark will get into why she is upset with Cole. The actual
this
big
episode
bag
had me so conflicted
of this episode is the boss demon who curses a pair of lovers because he can't get his dick wet.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
He's awful. He's just like
he
really
is the
rude.
Very definition of why do men.
Yeah.
But
I'm a nice guy. I cursed your boyfriend to be an owl. Not
he
a
literally,
worm.
Okay, like, we're going to be skipping around this whole episode because there's so much to talk about. But, like, he literally at one point says, you're only here to save him, aren't you? No, that's okay. You'll grow to love me. And then he was like, you know, like, I may be evil, but I'm not cheap. Oh, wait. Yes, I am. And, like, she's very clearly not into this. And
yeah.
He's like, he straight up says, I don't care because I have you now. And that's all that matters to me. And, like, there was just, like, this pit in my stomach. I'm like, you're a fucking despicable creature.
Yeah. Because it's not about, oh, I love her. It's, I want to own her and she rejected me.
Yeah, and this is moving into talking points and even a little bit favorite lines, favorite parts, but there's a point where, like, I can't remember her name. I'm not going to lie to you.
Brooke.
Brooke, she makes a comment about how, like, it's all her fault that this is happening to her lover. I can't remember his name either. This episode was very, like, tunnel vision for me. I'm not going to lie to you.
Uh-huh.
But she has this moment where she's, like, blaming herself and... Like, Prue uses the phrase, you said yes to a job, not to a man.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, God, it's, like, the amount of people that need to hear that sometimes, like, it's scary. But, like, this episode was very, it had those, like, underlying dark themes that I don't think you would notice if you hadn't, or someone you love hadn't been immediately going through them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this episode was centered towards women. At least the arc with the boss demon.
Yep.
I'll shut up now.
No. Just
but...
stop. You freak. I'm trying to figure out his name.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, I don't... Yeah, I don't remember his name. But... No, yeah, this episode is really amazing. We've got three kind of separate plot points.
Yes.
One
of which Clark wants to talk about way more than the other.
Yes. We've got Brooke and her situation. We've got Piper and Leo. And then we've got Cole. We've talked about Cole a bit. He does a lot of flirting with Phoebe in this episode. And like I said, I will give it credit where it's due. It's fucking hot. Like,
mm-hmm.
They are a very passionate couple from the get-go. Like, they can't do anything without, like just, it's palpable. You could cut the sexual tension between them. Like, even, like, Piper makes a comment about, you know, Phoebe almost got some right there in the store. Like,
yeah, literally.
It's intense. And I think that that's what's so, what's the word I'm looking for? So, like,
bittersweet,
attractive about their relationship.
Christopher.
It's just how much, like, Christopher.
His name's
I thought it was something like that. But there's something so passionate about them that we don't really get to see with the other sisters very much.
Yeah.
Because that's Phoebe's thing. Phoebe's thing is passion.
Yeah.
And God, Cole has a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess another talking point would not necessarily be Cole, but would be kind of the sister dynamic, I guess, would be the big one. Because we get to see a little bit of party pooper Phoebe. I wanted to be on Phoebe's side.
Really?
But all I can think is, Phoebe, you're being a dick. Your sister just wants to be happy.
Okay, then I will be on Phoebe's side. I think Phoebe was talking some mad sense in this episode.
I no, and that's what I said. That's why I said, like, I want to be on her side, mm-hmm. because she makes excellent points. And I will admit that Piper and Leo are very selfish in these kind of, like, coming episodes. But it's like, also, there's a certain point where you have to think, like, don't you kind of have to be a little selfish sometimes?
Yes, but here's the deal. Like, I hate to say this because I know that you're gonna kill me for it, but, like, I felt like Leo was really pushing Piper hard in this episode, and I didn't appreciate it. Because at the end of the day, like, it's his problem. And I will explain. Like, yes, we know that Leo does not want to clip his wings. Yes, we understand that Leo does more good as a white lighter, and that's like half of the issue, right? Is that Leo is meant to be a white lighter, he's meant to help the sisters, he's meant to be helping. If he wanted to be with Piper so bad that he was willing to bend every rule and do all of this, the easy answer would just be clip your wings.
Yeah.
Like, and why okay, does so Piper I want to say that have to make all these sacrifices for her family, for her wedding, for what she wants out of life, for what she wants from her lover? Why does she have to be the one that sacrifices things that she has planned since she was a little girl? Why does she have to be the one who's going through emotional strife? Why does she have to be the one who's fighting with her sisters? When it's Leo's bosses that are the problem.
No, and that's totally fair. Like, and like I said at the beginning, like, I made a joke out of it with Cole, but this episode is very conflicting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think part of it is, like, and I do see where you're coming from, like, Leo is pushing really, really hard in this episode. And there's a certain point where it does, yeah, it becomes kind of, like, not great. You're like, hey, Leo, chill the fuck out. Like, and I'm not defending him at all in this.
No. It's okay.
But, like, also, Piper wanted this. It was just not happening the way that she wanted, which, I mean, yeah, it sucks, but also, like, what are they gonna do? Like, he could have clipped his wings, but they have already discussed that as not an option. Like, they both agreed that neither of them wanted him to do that. So, I don't know. It, like, their relationship has never been cut and dry, easy answers.
Yeah.
Like, not even for a second.
It's always been tumultuous.
And we see the culmination of that in this episode. Like, at the end of this episode, you're left with a very strong feeling of, oh my god, am I ever gonna see Leo again?
Yep.
Like, he is ripped from this hand fasting ceremony in what looks like a very painful manner.
Yeah.
And I think what makes me so mad about this is that by the time it does actually happen and the sisters are good and everything is happy, Piper looks so happy. She even mm-hmm. says at the end, like, this isn't how I wanted it, but this is what I wanted. And this is where I take my turn and get angry because their plan would have worked.
Yep.
Their plan was working. The only reason that it didn't is because Cole injected himself and warned the triad of it so that the triad could get a hold of their superiors, so that their superiors could get a hold of the elders and put a stop to it.
Yep.
And because of that, we're going to see a lot of Piper development in these next couple of episodes, and I'm very excited to talk about them. Because at a certain point, we take this away from Leo and Piper. We take this away from the sisters. we need to think about how much harm the elders are doing to uphold their rules. Like, rules that were created, why? We never get an answer for why Whitelighters and witches can't be together, besides, like, yeah, they, like, would think with their emotions instead of, like, by the rules, but, like, okay, and? Like, I don't know. I just, like, it gets, to me, it brings it to the point of, like, the elders could see that this was preventing them from doing their job, but only when the elders were forcing them apart.
Yep.
Like, their relationship never got in the way of their work until the elders tried to tear them apart. And the only time that it further caused issues was when the elders got involved.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, and it's so brutal, because if you do not want spoilers, please skip the next 30 seconds of this podcast. It is so brutal to me because we see in the future how Cole develops. Mm-hmm. And what Cole becomes.
Yes.
And it is such a damn bummer, because when you make mistakes like this and then you have to look back on them as an adult, yikes. And yeah. End of spoilers. But, like, it's so brutal, because when Piper finally gets down to it, as Clark said, she loves that she's having her rutabaga. She loves yes. that she's having her hand fasting ceremony. They've got grams there, and we are really left on a tension point. And it's such a shame, because it really is, like, every time that Piper and Leo get something resolved, something comes in and fucks it up.
Something usually being the fucking elders.
Yep. Either the elders,
like,
or demons.
9 times out of 10. Yeah, when 9 times out of 10, when something goes wrong, I feel like it's the fucking elders. They're all about free will, but they're constantly meddling. I don't know. It feels like a bit of a metaphor.
They're like grandparents.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, I mean, honestly, truly, that's basically all I have to say about Piper and Leo. Like, it sucks. It was great. And, like, everything was happy. And then it wasn't, because fuck Cole. Nope, just kidding.
No, you can say it. It's true.
Yeah, no, like, fuck Cole. Like, this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for him. But, the thing that I wanted to focus on at this moment is, like, I've said it before and I'll say it again, and, like, please, like, can we have a moment of goddamn silence for Holly Marie Combs and her fucking incredible acting?
Yep. Moment of silence. 'Cause damn.
Oh my god. Like, you could feel how torn she is in this episode. You could see the absolute anguish when she thinks that, like when Leo gets torn from her at mm-hmm. this fucking hand fasting ceremony. Mm-hmm. Like, they were so close. And, like, not just her. Like, I mean, obviously she's the one that's most affected, but, like, you could see the shock on everyone's faces. And, like, Piper just, like, frantically going, like, what did we do wrong? What did we do? How did this happen? We did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, this episode ends with Piper, like, curled on the floor sobbing.
Yep.
With her sisters comforting her and Graham's wishing that she could comfort
I know.
Her.
Did you see that where Graham's extended her hands and then she couldn't touch them? Oh, that was brutal.
And then she, like, yeah, crosses them over her heart. Like, bro, this episode fucks you up.
Yep.
Like, there is no stop. Like, it doesn't pull any punches. It is rough. And then, yeah, I guess that, like, we kind of have to talk about Brittany and Christopher.
Oh my god, Brooke! Her name's Brooke!
Brooke!
Oh. Yeah.
I swear to god, I didn't do that on purpose.
Let's talk about
They are technically the focus of
Brittany
this episode.
Brittany and Calcifer. Like, let's just throw out, like, oh my god.
It's like
a... Let's talk about blueberry and cantaloupe.
Now we're getting into Benedict Cumberbatch territory.
Who? Bendy Snatch Cumberwap? Who?
Blendy Dick Cucumber?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one, huh? Yeah. But,
Yeah, I guess they
yeah,
love...
So... What, Brooke and Christopher, yeah, they get a curse placed on them. They both turn into animals, but on the opposite 12 hours of the day of each other so that they can never interact. And it's like predator and prey and the...
I did like that she was the wolf.
Yeah, that was nice.
Nice feminist touch.
But yeah, there's really not much to say about their story that we kind of didn't cover in the big bad section. Like... This dude got upset because she loved Christopher and not him, so he put a curse on them, and dumbass didn't think about his words and was shook when they broke the curse without him.
On the eclipse.
He was like, huh. He's like, this is a great riddle that no one will, that, like, doesn't mean anything and will never come back to bite me in the ass.
Yep.
And then, yeah. Love, like, literally love won, and he got,
his heart
burned and taken down into hell. Like, it was a great story. Loved it. Brooke and Christopher really pissed me off. Their lack of ability to accept help from these people who obviously know what the fuck they're doing. That was infuriating.
I mean, they did get cursed. Like, let's be real.
I mean,
one day you're in a pencil skirt, and you're serving your boss coffee, and then... You won't suck dick and he curses you, and then the next day you wake up and your boyfriend's an owl and you've got fur in strange places. Like, I wouldn't be super kumbaya with somebody who could throw a bitch across the room either. Maybe that's just my trust issues,
like,
but whatever. But
I don't know. I feel like if... I don't know. Especially after they, like... saved her and were working on saving them and shit like that, and Brooke still, like, took matters into her own hands. I don't know. I guess, you know, like they said, you know, all matter and reason goes out the window when love gets involved. Like, that's, like, the catchphrase of this episode. And, yeah, I guess it explains things, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just a heartless bitch or something, but... I don't fucking get it.
I was about to be like, you know that meme? Where it's like, yeah, I don't understand why this episode is about, like, love conquers all. Yeah, no, I don't either. Like, why wouldn't you just help the charm ones? And then it's like, two bitches with relationship drama. That's what we're doing right now.
Oh, God.
Love exists.
Does it?
It does.
Moving on.
Have you had apple pie recently? Peanut butter half baked. A really
the only
nice
love
orange
for me
candle.
Is between a woman and her cat.
No shit, I can't wait to get a cat. I miss your cat, Clark.
Hi. Yeah, we're this is
so yeah.
We're just yeah.
This
is a great episode, you guys.
And we have just shit-talked through it.
Yeah, I mean, mostly me. To be fair, we touched, like, all of the talking points, though.
I know!
I did write...
Fuck cold derogatory. Fuck cold disrespectfully.
That second one was more, like... me dealing with the emotions that look he gave Phoebe stirred up. That was the disrespectful one.
Oh.
That was me working through some shit. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about this episode. It was really great. I fucking loved it.
It's not rewatchable because it'll rip your heart off.
Yeah, it's not rewatchable because I'd literally rather die, but, I don't remember any personal gain, so that's an upside, I guess.
Yep, little things.
Yeah, so we're still at 66 and a half, going strong. Lots of amazing quotes from this episode as well.
Yes.
One of my favorites was, Leo! Shh! Leo!
Yeah.
That one was a good one.
I personally liked, so Clark actually called me out for being a whore, and was like, was your favorite quote the Graham's quote? Because apparently I filled the role of a woman who is in her later years who's been remarried lots.
No, I just know how much you love Graham.
That is a true statement. I also relate to her deeply as an older woman.
Graham's is such a bad bitch, bro. I'm dead.
In my head, I've been remarried at least 50 times. And so I will honor Clark's request and say that one of my favorite lines was, what was it? Fighting demons doesn't keep you warm on a cold winter's night? What was it?
Yes!
I'm gonna find the quote. That was almost
exactly word for word.
I'm gonna find the exact quote. Clark, tell the people your favorite part, and I'll find this
quote. Okay, I have more. A really good one was, hey, Phoebe, the reason why we write the bad words is so we don't say the bad words. And then Phoebe had another good one. I curse you, you curse me, let's get together, do a little cursing.
I also liked that Phoebe's response to that quip that Piper said to her was writing down unshakable wrath. Yes. And Phoebe and Piper's like, you didn't have to write that one down. And she was like, oh, I just wanted everyone to remember it.
I just wanted everyone to, like, you know, remember the thing. Oh, it's a code word for the thing we're not supposed to talk about. Fucking Peru being dense. Oh my god. We didn't even talk about the fact Cole has a shadow that's not a shadow that reports to the triad. Real spooky. Real spooky, my guy.
You say spooky. You really
live it up to your big bed.
I have another S word in mind.
Victoria says hi. Victoria says step on me.
If you can bring yourself and your shadow into the bedroom. That's what I call making a triad.
Cole gets white lighter juice on him.
And wipes it off!
And he goes, white lighters always were messy.
Pulls out a spotless white handkerchief out of his breast pocket.
He's like, disgusting.
Oh, I found the quote. Which also actually has a fantastic Phoebe accompaniment. The charmed ones are destined for greatness, but that fact doesn't keep a girl warm on a cold winter's night. And Phoebe says, so add a blanket.
Yes!
Which is literally us.
Oh, so great. Fantastic. And then you had one more favorite line.
Yes, I did like the quip of, if I had a dollar for every time an owl turned into a hot guy on our porch, I'd be rich. Which is, like, sad that it's probably truer than even we, the viewers, know.
One last thing that I wanted to mention before we get into scores. Kit's back.
Miss him.
We should have a how many days since we've seen Kit counter, because, like, this bitch just be popping in and out however she pleases.
Zero.
No, stop. We're not having another counter.
You asked for it, you shall receive.
Oh, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, you guys.
Neither did the monkey's paw.
Oh.
Sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for.
Yikes. Anyways, also, last thing before we get into the ending part of our episode. Oh my god, you guys, we hit over 5,000 downloads today.
Boop, boop, boop.
That's fucking crazy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. That's so exciting.
And now, as your reward, Victoria.
Yes?
How would you score this episode at a topsy-turvy twisty love triangles?
So, I'm surprised you didn't go rutabagas, but out of topsy-turvy.
That was a good one.
Out of topsy-turvy twisty love triangles, I would give this episode like a 4.3. I would give this 4.3 topsy-turvy twisty love triangles. That was sick.
I'd give this 5 out of 5 topsy-turvy twisty love triangles. love this episode. You're right. It's super not rewatchable because I'd probably die. But yeah, that doesn't change the fact that this episode... No, dude, like, I told you this at the beginning of recording and stuff, but, like, this episode came on and I saw Piper in the hair salon and I was like, I know exactly what happens in every second of this episode. And that, to me, deserves a 5 out of 5. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, as, like, a last little thought, that bridal montage at the beginning of the episode was hysterical!
Poor Piper. Literally, I started my notes with Piper wedding angst.
Not angst. Anger. She was pissed.
She's like, I fucking hate this shit.
That girl came into the elevator with her ring and Piper made that face.
Me. Honestly, me. Just bitter.
Oh. My God, it was
fantastic. Well, it's been 0 days since we've seen Leo. It has been 1 day since we've seen sweet baby Daryl. We miss
0 days since we've seen Cole.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And 0 days since we've seen Kit. I feel like Ariel in The Little Mermaid, but it's worse because I'm an adult woman and I know why I like him.
I just, like, I feel like we need to rename this show for the next, like, certain amount of time. Clark and Victoria fight about who's better, Leo or Cole.
And there's no comparison. Leo is a better person. Leo is a better man. Leo is a better white lighter. Leo has been around longer. Leo is always going to be, like, the better man. Cole's just so hot.
Sparks something in you.
I mean, put the man in tight leather pants and an open shirt and watch what happens. Put the two of us in a room.
I shit you not, I showed my coworker Cole and she goes, wow, he's ugly. And I was like, oh, Victoria's not gonna like this.
No, and listen, because here's the deal, y'all, do not get me wrong. If this wasn't a 90s sitcom, mm-hmm, I would be a little bit more particular about where I laid my head to rest. But it is a 90s sitcom. And though I agree that Cole is a white man, no! He's still...
A white man, no!
He still is like... He fits my niche. Do you ever, like, start a new show or a new anime and then you see somebody and you're like, ah... There he is.
I bet you liked first season Doc Holliday a lot better than Dolls, too.
You are damn right that I did. Let's see. Let's do a list. Who else does Victoria like? It would be really easy to go off, like, anime. But I kind of don't want to...
I bet you shit your pants when the show Lucifer came around.
I did not watch Lucifer. But I can confirm that I would lose my mind if I watched it. I stay away from it for my own mental health. I cannot have a crush on the devil.
Have you seen Bridgerton? I heard there's an enemies to lovers in that.
All I know is that they have a lot of sex to classical music, so I guess I need to get on it. You can find us on Twitter at Podcast.
I didn't ask you the question. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/charmedanddangerouspod or by searching Charmed and Dangerous Pod in the search bar. Where can they find us on Instagram, Victoria?
You can find us on Instagram, where sometimes we claw ourselves out of the graveyard that we buried ourselves in at Charmed and Dangerous Pod. Where can they find us for questions, comments, and snarky remarks, Clark?
I guess if you want more of this madness, you can send us an email at charmedanddangerouspod@gmail.com. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened to this episode. I've never been so exhausted after recording an episode.
In a good way.
This has been great. In a great way. We love you so much. Thank you for checking in. Thank you for 5,000 downloads. Couldn't have done it without you. That's all, folks. Listen, peace.